Genesis chapter 22, the 22nd chapter of Genesis, we turn to again, and the verses 7 through to 8 I want to leave with you this morning. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. The quietness of the journey of the father and of the son to the place of sacrifice is briefly broken by Isaac. Up to this point, Isaac, the young lad, is like the lamb being led to the slaughter, who has not opened his mouth. But now he briefly opens his mouth and a conversation takes place. The conversation, you know, is short. It is after the civilities of the opening statements, just a question and an answer. That's all we have, one question and one answer. But what a question it is, and what an answer it is. This question and answer has echoed down the ages of time. It has echoed in the halls of every Christian congregation, age after age. This great question and this great answer, wherein is contained the very substance of the gospel. It's like a catechism question, isn't it? Boys and girls learn their catechism. It's in the form of a question and answer. That's a good way to teach and to be taught. The teacher asks the question, and the learning child in the memorization gives the answer. But you know, in the forming of it, it's really the other way around, isn't it? It's really the child that's asking the question, What is God, Daddy? What is creation, Mommy? So that's the way it is in the origin. It's the child asking the question of the father in the faith. But in learning it by memorization, of course, it's the teacher that asks the question, and it's the children that learn the answer that the fathers of the faith have given them to answer. And that's what we have here, a kind of a catechism. The first catechism question, we can call it, the child of faith asking, Where is the lamb? And the father of the faithful answering and saying, God shall provide himself a lamb. What a question and what an answer. Let me say two things about the question. And then let me say two things about the answer. The question, first of all. The first thing that I would say about the question, Where is the lamb? Is that it is a natural question. This isn't a stupid question that the lad is asking. This is a very understanding question, a natural question, a question that is important, that we would expect would be asked. Because in the fire and the wood that is present and all the tools of sacrifice going to the place of sacrifice, there is not a lamb present. The wood has been there since the start of the journey. Abraham probably told Sarah what he later told the two servants. We're going to worship God, that is, we're going to sacrifice, we're going to build an altar, we're going to make an offering upon it. Nobody thinks that's unusual, to be going to offer on Abraham is the altar builder. He's doing that all the time in all places where he goes. He's offering sacrifices all the time. He frequently did that. But there was always a lamb present. And it is very evident that there is no lamb in this journey. So let us contemplate that no one has asked this question thus far. Everybody is thinking it. Where's the lamb? Has he not brought a lamb? Everybody's thinking it. Sarah, she probably thought, well, he's going to grab a lamb on the way out of the camp. But he doesn't. And he goes on the journey. And now they're nearing the place. And there are only the two of them, Abraham and Isaac. The two servants, they must also be saying, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? But nobody asks. Isn't that interesting that nobody asks? Do they deep down know there's an atmosphere about all of this that isn't usual? They don't ask. But I'm sure that those two servants are relieved that they were told to wait behind. But they must be saying to one another as Abraham and Isaac go on to the place of the altar, they must be asking, where is the lamb? It's the question of the hour. It's the question everybody's asking, where is the lamb? So it's a natural question. And now, at last, the lad asks it, Father, I see everything, I see all the tools, but the lamb. The second thing I say about this question, not only is it a natural question that people are thinking and Isaac eventually asks, I would also say that this question is prophetical. It is prophetically inspired. And God has restrained the servants from asking it. And God has restrained Isaac from asking it until this point in time when they are alone making their way to the place. And there's not a lamb in sight, and it doesn't look like a lamb's going to appear. It's just at this point when all hope of a lamb is gone. The place of sacrifice can be seen and there's no lamb in between times. All hope of a lamb along the way is gone. And now Isaac. And he's probably thinking in his heart, there's something not right here. Father, where's the lamb? It's a prophetic question that the Holy Spirit has held back to be asked until this time. This is a unique historical situation that has been created by God for the instruction of the church, for the instruction of sinners, that they may, when they hear the story, be brought into the church by faith. The fact that the question has been inscripturated at this juncture must not be missed. And as I said, there are echoes in this question that go down the ages of time, even into eternity. The Lamb. What an important name that is. The Lamb. All Christians know the Lamb. There's only one Lamb. One true lamb in time, one true lamb in eternity, the lamb slain from the foundation of the earth, the lamb for whom the very world was erected. The lamb. This is the first occurrence of the word, you know. The lamb. The Holy Spirit has held back until the expression the lamb should be couched in this historic situation and in this great question of all time, where is the lamb? Who is the lamb? It needs to be asked today by people, this question, this prophetic question. This question the Holy Spirit has written down in the Scriptures. It's a question that people need to be asking. It's a very question that the awakened sinner, whose conscience is in turmoil, whose heart has been convicted of his awful and wretched sins, it's the very question that awakened sinner needs to be asking. Where is the Lamb? Where is the Lamb? It's a question saints need to be asking. It's a question every Christian needs to be asking about their Christian experience. Where is the Lamb in my Christian experience? Is he central? Is he first? This Lamb who's slain from the foundation of the earth. This Lamb who has the very book of life. Where is this Lamb in my life? Where is this Lamb in my getting up in the morning? Am I walking through the day of life? Where is this Lamb when I lay my head on my pillow at night? Do I know him? Is he in my experience? Is he dear to me? Is he near to me? Is he in my richest and chiefest thoughts? Where is the Lamb in my thoughts? Where is the Lamb in my affections? Where is the Lamb in my heart? Where is the Lamb in my home and my life? Where is the Lamb in the church? And saints need to ask this when they come to church, when they come into God's house, when they listen to the word of God. They should be asking concerning the sermon, where's the Lamb? Where's the Lamb in the sermon? Where's the Lamb in the preaching? And the preacher, when he does his preparation, it's the main question he asks. It's the first question. It's the chief question. Even beyond your needs, even beyond what's going on in your life, the preacher asks, where's the Lamb in this sermon? Where's Christ crucified in this message? Is he the heart of it? Where's the Lamb? The preacher's asking all the time in his preparation. And that's what the Sabbath school teacher needs to ask as well. And all Bible instructors and all instructors of others in the Christian faith, they need to ask in their message, where's the Lamb in it? So it's a very important question in the halls of the Christian church from age to age. Let's come now to the answer. Verse 8. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And in this answer, we have the second mention of the lamb in Scripture. There are two things about this answer. If we can contrast those two things with the two things about the question, we said the question's a natural question, and we said the question's a prophetical question. Concerning this answer, we can say this is not a natural answer. This is not a natural answer. This is not what we expect. It is, however, prophetical. It's not natural. It's not the kind of normal answer that we expected. For a start, it doesn't really answer the question. If we think of the question as a normal, natural question, the natural answer is, Isaac, you're the lamb. You're the lamb. That's the answer, the honest answer. The offering is walking beside Abraham. Abraham knows this. The offering is carrying the timber on his back. Abraham knows this. He could just say, you're the lamb carrying the wood, Isaac. That's the natural answer, but you can't give that natural answer because it's heart-wrenching. You can't say the natural answer. It's not, therefore, the answer that comes out of the Father's mouth. And not only can he not give it, but the Holy Spirit comes upon him and gives him the prophetic answer. Abraham, you see, senses something. He knows that this whole situation is of God. He senses something special. He cannot answer naturally and honestly. So what does he do? He gets the grace of the Holy Spirit to speak prophetically. And this is a prophetic answer. It's a gospel answer. It's a Holy Spirit's answer. It's the answer that we put upon the church. God hath provided himself a lamb. Abraham is not lying. We could never say that. There are no lies in the midst of disobedience. Abraham's not a liar, just, you know, throwing his son off with lies. Has anyone ever thought that? Rub that out of your mind. This isn't a lie. Abraham's not thinking that somehow a lamb's just going to jump out of the fields on the way to the place. He's not thinking that. He's answering by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's answering prophetically because he knows this whole situation is of God, and he is illuminated and he has light. He has seen something. So this is not a casual, careless kind of answer to throw off the unsuspecting Isaac with a lie. No, it's truth. This is truth. This is gospel truth. This is profound, saving truth. Abraham answers it as one inspired, a prophet who sees. There is no lamb present. There is no lamb on this journey. Not even Isaac is the lamb. He can't tell Isaac he is the lamb because that would be a lie. He's not going to be the lamb. Isaac's not going to be offered. Isaac does not die. Isaac is in no way the atonement. A better question that might have been asked that day is, who is the lamb? It seems to be that question which Abraham answers. Who is the lamb? He's thinking about that, you see. This is eternal truth, this answer. This is the prophetic word. This is the answer of faith. This is the gospel answer, the Spirit's answer, the church's answer, the answer of all who are of faith. God, Almighty God, the great God, the everlasting God, he will himself provide the lamb. He will himself do it. You might be tempted to ask, does Abraham know what he is saying? Does he even understand this answer? Is he really seeing Christ at all? Now, we know that it is possible to speak prophetically and not see, not understand what you're saying, even though you're speaking prophetically. We do know that. I think of Caiaphas, the high priest. He was a wicked man. He had a bad heart. He consulted and counseled with others concerning the death of Jesus. But he said something remarkable. Being the high priest that year, he said that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people so that all the nation does not perish. You know what John says? He, being the high priest that year, prophesied. The Holy Spirit came upon him and prophesied. And it was a prophecy of Christ's death. Prophecy of Christ's death for others. A prophecy of Christ's death for others so that others will not perish. He dies that others may not perish. That's the gospel. He preached the gospel in his robes and his garments. Though he had a bad heart, he had no understanding and he couldn't see, yet out of his mouth came the gospel. Is that how Abraham is speaking? He doesn't really know what he's saying. He doesn't see the gospel, but he just, you know, he speaks the words and the Holy Spirit is giving us the gospel, and all the while Abraham is blind and he doesn't see. Is that the way it is? In no way. This man sees. It's a very special day. A day of blessing. A day of obedience. A day when he's walking closer with God than he ever walked before. And as he walks with God to the terrible place of sacrifice, God is walking with him, illuminating him, filling him with his Spirit, giving him a glimpse of another day. He sees another day. And thus he answers, God will provide himself a lamb. As if he's lost. As if he answers the question way above that level, in the level of eternity, in the level of great illumination and light. As if, you know, they heard the saying, some men are so heavenly minded they're of no earthly use. I think Abraham might be a bit like that. His mind is lifted above all of this, and he sees into the great day ahead. God providing himself a lamb. And for a moment he seems to forget about Isaac. And he's taken up with the lamb. And this marvelous answer proves it. God provides himself a lamb. And I think the commentary of the Lord Jesus Christ on this tells us this. Abraham is not in the dark when it comes to God's lamb. He sees more clearly than he ever sees. He sees the day of Christ. And what did John say? Recording the words of Jesus, he wrote them down. He says, Jesus spoke to the Jews, and he said to the Jews, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. You know the most glad day Abraham ever had? It was this day. The day whenever that ram appeared and took the place of his son. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Jesus said he saw my day. He had light. He wasn't walking in the darkness to Moriah that day. He wasn't coming into the vicinity of Calvary as one in a fog and in a mist. He was seeing. He was seeing as he never saw before. It was a day of gospel light. He saw Christ. He saw the Lamb. The Lamb. As it turns out, Abraham does not have to offer his son. God stops him. Doesn't allow him to do so. But God provides his son as the lamb to be sacrificed. Where is the lamb then? This lamb of God. Where is the lamb? Where is he? Where can we see him? Where can we find him? Where can we obtain him? We need to see him. Because he's God's provision, you see. God will provide a lamb. Jesus Christ is God's provision. Jesus Christ is the only remedy for sin. Jesus Christ is all that there is to reconcile us to God, to save us from perishing. God provided him. And he provided him because mankind needed him. God provided a lamb because man needs a lamb. God does not provide his lamb for show and display merely. He provides him for our sins. He provides him in his love for us to reconcile us to himself. He does not give him where there is no need. If we could save ourselves, God might keep his provision. If we could deal with all our sins and with all our iniquities on our own and carry ourselves away to heaven and into the presence of God through other doors, then God did not need to provide a lamb. We did not need to have a Jehovah Jireh. If we could save ourselves, if we could get to God by ourselves, God might have kept his son in his bosom and not provided him at all. But no. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord must provide. We must have a Jehovah Jireh God who provides for us. Where is the lamb then of his provision? Where can we find him? Well, he's in the Bible. We find him in the scriptures. We find him in the Word of God. We find him in the Passover Lamb who sets him forth. Remember, the Passover Lamb was slain and Israel were saved and they were brought out of bondage. They were redeemed. And God gives the true Passover Lamb. He provides the Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ, for us. As Paul says, our Passover, Jesus Christ, is sacrificed for us. He's the Lamb. It's his blood that brings to us redemption. We find him in Exodus then. We find him in Isaiah 53. He's oppressed. He's afflicted. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before her shears is dumb, he openeth not his mouth. He's the suffering one. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. The Lord made his soul an offering for sin. There he is, the silent one, the lamb, the one being offered up by the Lord himself to be a sin offering. Who was wounded for our transgressions, who was bruised for our iniquities. He's in Isaiah 53. And then we find him at Jordan's banks. John the Baptist nearly seems to hear this question, where is the Lamb? And as he comes up out of the water, and as he walks those banks, the one anointed of God, the one provided by the Father, John cannot restrain himself. John cannot hold back. As that old question comes down the corridors of time, where is the Lamb? And John is forced to cry out, behold the Lamb of God, the Lamb provided by God. This is Abraham's prophecy fulfilled. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So the Baptist points him out. And then we find him at this very place, thousands of years later, in Moriah, in the very hill country where Calvary itself is placed. Where is the Lamb? There he is, on Golgotha's hill. There he is on the central cross. Where is the Lamb? There he is, crucified for us, dying for us, shedding his blood for us. At last, the prophetic fulfillment, provided for us and doing the work for us, dying the just for the unjust that he might bring us to God, being made a curse for us. There he is, you poor and needy sinners. There he is in all your emptiness and all your sinfulness. There he is, the provision of God for your soul, the provision of God for your sins, the provision of God to make you right with God and to make you holy and to one day at last, through grace, make you sinless. This Lamb, there he is, standing in your stead, paying your debt, taking away your sins. So look to him. Believe on him. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? Are thorns compose so rich a crown? And where is he now? Now in your need. Now this very minute. Where is he? He's at the right hand of the Father. He's in the place of mediation between you and your God. He is one that you can come to by faith. He is one who is in the midst of the throne of glory, and in the midst of the beast, and in the midst of the elders, the Lamb. He's the Lamb in glory, the Lamb provided as had been slain. There he is. And all the elders in glory, they fall down before him and they worship him and they cast their crowns before him, because the Lamb lives, the Lamb reigns, the Lamb can be approached, the Lamb can be called upon. We can come to the Lamb through faith. We can believe on him, and we must believe on him. And they praise him in glory. Who do they praise in glory? This very one. Worthy is the Lamb, they say, that was slain to receive riches and honor and glory. They worship him, for he lives and reigns. And he opens his seals, and he unlocks the decrees of God. And there's nothing happens on this planet, and there's nothing happens in this world, but the Lamb has opened the seal and caused a decree to be fulfilled in the providence of God. For this Lamb provided is now the Lamb reigning, and he will reign until he brings us to be with himself forever and forever. And that won't be the end of the story. For then he will lead us in glory, this Lamb, this provision of God. And he'll lead us to fountains of living waters. And we'll follow the Lamb whithersoever he doth lead us. And he'll wipe away all our tears. And we'll drink endlessly from the riches of his grace. This wonderful Lamb that God himself has provided. And so we bless God for such a provision. That's a good question then, isn't it? It's a good answer also. But do not rest in the theological and biblical notion only. Do not rest that you know the theology, that you can say the question and state the answer like a catechism. To know is one thing. To answer the question is one thing. Knowing the answer is one thing. But availing yourself of the answer is another thing altogether. And so you must come. You must take hold of the provision. You must say, he is all my salvation, and there is no one else. And I hold fast to him, and I be steadfast to Jesus Christ, my Savior, and I will not let him go. And so you avail yourself of him, having seen where he is, having seen who the Lamb is, you go to him, you go to that place, and you avail yourself of him. And so the question that I ask you today is not only where is the Lamb, but I ask you, where is your faith? Where is your hope? Where is your trust? Have you come to him? Are you believing and trusting in him? God has provided him. Everyone, make sure that you receive him.